Welcome to the Dwizzle Nation podcast, discussing music, movies, sports, and pop culture.
All right, everyone, we're back again for episode number 4 of the Dwizzle Nation podcast. I'm joined. Wow. Wait, what's up? What, a flag? What are you watching? You watching a football game, huh?
No. I'm saying wow because we made it to the fourth one.
Definitely the fourth one. I don't know if you've noticed. By the way, everybody, this is D. Medi, the resident MC. Resident MC up in here. Once again, by the way, for those of you who listening to us, the outro that you've heard on our last two episodes, he's responsible for. He actually produced all that. If you're looking to have anyone create music for you, he actually can, you know, the guy's really professional when it comes to that. You might want to check him out. But yeah, everyone, you know, we've got. I'm checking out the analytics, and not only do we have listeners in the Dominican Republic, big up the Provincia Bauruco, Neiva, Galvan, and Villajarada.
Que lo que.
But we also have listeners in Germany. Now, I don't know if that's someone
Dankeschön.
Dankeschön. You know, I don't know if that's someone messing with their IP address while they are listening to. But we're going to take it. We're going to take it.
The viewership. Yeah, we'll take it.
The listenership has been growing. And but we definitely want some more interaction. So once again, for those of you who know me, feel more than free to, you know, give me your opinion, email me, text me, stop me when you see him at work, see me at work, whatever. Same thing goes with D. Medi.
Yep. But post in the comments. So definitely post in the comments if you have any like questions or anything that I guess you don't agree with. And then we can have a nice little friendly discussion.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. But I can be, you can follow me on Instagram. That's Dwizzle Nation. You can find me on there. You know, big up to everyone who's actually decided to follow the page. I haven't really posted anything up in there but three pictures. But people are following, and it's, you know, it's good. It's good.
Nice.
So, we are here today. And once again, DJ Tito is out and about. You know, last minute told me he couldn't join us today. Typical stuff he does, but that's my dog or whatever. He's probably out doing family stuff, so we can't fault him for that.
Yeah, handling business, you know?
Of course, like all of us during these times. But we're here to discuss. There was a bit of confusion, and we didn't get our stuff straight. So we were supposed to be reviewing Token, a young MC out of Salem, Massachusetts. I think he's, how old is he now? You have any idea how old he is now?
He's 22. He's actually pretty young.
He's 22, but he's been around for a minute. I know he's been around since at least 2016. I want to give a big up to Big Pay Jay from work out of New Haven, Connecticut. He's the guy that put me on to him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I first saw him in a video. I guess he self-produced a video. This kid was 17 when he did this. So he's definitely a self-made individual. You know, he's taken advantage of the tools that we have today as far as YouTube and social media in order to put himself out there. So I guess what we'll be doing, instead of reviewing one particular album, we're going to be reviewing him as an MC in total, combined with the work that he's put out. I don't know... D. Medi, have you checked any of his social media at all?
I haven't checked any of his social, and honestly, prior to, I guess, listening to the album of his that I listened to between somewhere, I was only familiar of him like on a couple like freestyles and stuff like that. Like I wasn't really too aware of his level as an artist or as an MC. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure for him to do a song with Tech N9ne and for him to be out there and to have a reputation and gain some notoriety, you know, I'm sure he's definitely out there doing really well.
Did you hear the freestyle he did with Sway?
Yes, that I listened to. That was last year, right? Last year or the year before?
Yeah, something like that. What's your opinion on that?
He did pretty well on that. That's actually, for me, with listening to everything he's done, that for me is his standout performance, I would say, out of everything. I think he's a very skilled lyricist. I mean, he's still definitely young, so he's going to continue to improve, but just in terms of making a complete song or a complete record, in my opinion, he's not there yet.
We're gonna touch on that real quick, because I have some questions concerning that. Because when we spoke, off of the podcast, you did say that you were gonna surprise us with what your take was gonna be on him.
You know how there's certain artists that I guess you don't think are bad, but when you listen to them, there's just something about them. It's like I'll give you an example with Action Bronson. I think he's definitely talented, but his vocal tone, I guess through no fault of his own, he sounds exactly like Ghostface Killah. And for me, if I want to listen to somebody who sounds like Ghostface, I'm gonna go to
You're gonna
Ghostface,
go, yeah.
because Ghostface makes a certain caliber of music that Action Bronson, in my opinion, to this point, hasn't been able to match or meet. With Token, he kind of reminds me of a mixture of a few different MCs. I get a little Logic vibes when I listen to him. I definitely get heavy Machine Gun Kelly vibes when I listen to him.
Whoa, MGK?
And to me, song wise, he's not as proficient as them in making complete records. So for me, as of right now, he's not going to be somebody that I'm going to be like, oh, he dropped something? Let me go check it out.
Okay. That's interesting. Interesting. See, I thought when you were gonna lay down the comparisons, I thought you were gonna say Eminem.
Now, he didn't give me Eminem vibes in terms of his actual rapping. I think, well, and listening to the Between Somewhere album, I could see where that comparison is made because he's talking about like certain like family issues and stuff like that. So, that's definitely something that
Jesus
Eminem has
Christ.
done. But just in terms of Token's like ability and his style, it doesn't really remind me of Eminem.
Well, the way that it reminds me of Eminem is, well, him just personally, because I didn't actually check out the second album. I did the first, and the way he puts his bars together, how everything fits in a puzzle. So he's like with Eminem, and I'm not trying to make this a referendum on Eminem, is that Eminem has the ability to take something from the previous eight bars and make it rhyme down the road, and you understand that that's where the syncopation and the rhyme was supposed to be. You dig what I'm saying? Fitting a puzzle within a puzzle within a puzzle. And I think he had the ability to do that. Also, like the flow. You know when how Eminem, when he starts rhyming, he starts steady. And then as he gets more into the bars, his flow becomes more intense and more powerful.
And a lot of the time faster.
Yes. And he also he has a he does that speed rap, that
Well,
M is known for, like, he holds the record
that's
for the
definitely
mo
another
for
comparison.
yeah he has he holds the record for the most words in an actual song. So I think that's where the comparisons lie.
Gotcha.
And also, not to make this an issue, but also being a white rapper in a genre that is dominated by blacks, and him holding his own, okay? Definitely being able to hold his own lyrically, I think that's where the comparisons are similar.
I mean, I think any like really lyrical or fast rapping white guy, like automatically people are gonna think Eminem and stuff. So I understand, I guess, where you would make that comparison, and others would make that comparison to for him. But I would say, I mean, he's still young, so I think he has an opportunity to, I guess, branch out and really carve his own like style and his own legacy. So there's still time for him to do that. And you know, he's he, I'm assuming he's going to, you know, continue working on his craft, continue to improve. He definitely has the technical skill sets to be a very good MC. It's just he just has to put it into song.
I was reading an interview that he did was is that originally he used to when he was younger, like I think he said when he was 11 or 12. Well, little background is that you wonder, okay, the name Token. When you first hear the name Token, and I heard this on Sway's interview, was that you're thinking, okay, Token in the sense that he is a white guy in a black genre, and you could take it that way, you know. Like being the one black kid in a white school, the token, you know? But also, it's used as token in the sense that it's a gift. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh,
Like
gotcha.
a token of affection. And so he uses that was the in that was the meaning behind the name that he started using as he got older.
Gotcha. That's surprising. I thought it was just he was leaning in into, I guess, what people's perceptions
Yeah,
of
no.
him would be off the bat.
Yes, no. That was. I mean, assuming that he's being honest with that. Also, when he was on that Sway interview was actually pretty good because the kid held his own. And one of the things that Sway pointed to him was is that there were a lot of rappers. Originally, he thought he was going to have a feature on that Sway interview, so he had prepared 250 bars.
Wow.
And then he realized that he was going to be on there with four other guys. So he had to condense his rap and he had to alter the original 250 bars, you know, that type of stuff.
Wow.
So he had to deal with that because he didn't want to back out. You know, he's like, I can't do that because then I'm going to look like I'm trying to big time, and I'm just new on the scene. But he got a tremendous compliment from Sway because Sway pointed out that a lot of guys show up to his show and they come completely unprepared to spit bars. You know? He also admitted it's like, nah, it's not a freestyle. I sat down and I prepared for this. But I write every day. I practice every day. So for me to say that I just came up of this off the top, but come on, man. There's very few people that can do
That actually freestyle,
that
yeah.
can actually freestyle right off the top of their heads. So he says,
And
nah,
to do it at a high level
and
too.
do it at a high level. So he said, listen, this is what I do. This is what I want to be good at. Of course, I have to prepare for this, you know? And he got a lot of credits for actually coming on that show prepared because some guys don't. I mean, like you've heard some of the more not popular with me, but some of the more well-known MCs come up and do freestyles on whatever show or whatever social media platform that they do that they have, and they sound like straight up garbage. Garbage. You know?
Yeah.
It wasn't the case with this kid. Also, considering that you compared him to Machine Gun Kelly, from a lyrical standpoint, do you think he's You know, is he better than Machine Gun Kelly or is he on par? What?
He's more what wordplay wise, yes, but I think Machine Gun Kelly's his vocal texture, his ability to actually craft a song, I think supersedes Tokens by a significant margin at this stage of the game. Once again, Token is young, so he has time to get better at it, but
Now do you think Machine Gun Kelly is, you know, creating these songs on his own, or he has producers to help him with that?
he definitely has producers. The vast majority of artists have, you know, producers and other people that they work with. and stuff. So yeah, he definitely has producers. He's been in the game for a while and stuff.
Is he even doing rap anymore? Isn't he like more, you know, like transitioning to like rock music?
Yeah, I know he's trying to go into like not exactly the Kid Rock formula, but something a derivative of that is I guess where he's looking to go into next. But I'm just talking about the stuff that like his rap songs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And even his like back and forth with Eminem that he had 2 years ago, mm-hmm. where Eminem definitely got the better of that matchup, but I felt like Machine Gun Kelly did hold his own mm-hmm. in his response. I think it was called Rap Devil or something like that. Rap Devil. Yeah, he actually held his own on that. So I wouldn't say it wasn't like like what Eminem did to Benzino.
Oh, you know? Okay, that's a whole other war right there.
Yeah, but I would say with Tolkien, he's definitely skilled. He's definitely talented. He can put his words together really well. Definitely really good cadence and flow. Is just from what I heard, I guess he's like the album that he put together. It wasn't necessarily bad. It just wasn't for me as a rap fan. I think it was for a much younger demographic. It was he kind of went into what I call emo rap in that realm. So
you there Daniel? Wow, something happened. We lost this kid. Stand by, we'll be right back. Okay, everyone, we're back. We lost Daniel for a second. Excuse me. Once again, I used the government name, D. Medi. We lost him for a second. A little technical difficulties, but he's back. Could you go back to what you were saying before?
Oh, with Token, I think I was referencing his album Somewhere in Between. Just him as an artist, I think just in terms of him putting together good songs is where he's definitely lacking it. And I know I've said that a couple of times, but I was going into specifics with the Between Somewhere album, like there were some songs where he ventured into what I call emo rap, which there's a lot of people that dig that type of music, but me personally, it's just not my particular style. So I feel like he was going for a younger audience, just with some of the style of the rap that he was going into. In my opinion, I don't know how it was received critically, but it just wasn't for me. It definitely wasn't for me. Like there were some chorus choices that he tried to do where he would try to sing, and it did not work at all. Like I was like, bro, like somebody should have told you in the studio that ain't it.
Okay.
Now what songs of his, because I know you said that you mentioned his first album, what songs from there did you really like?
Well, his first album, let me see, hold on a second, I got it written down here because I have to pay attention like that. Let me see. All right, he's got one in particular. It was called Exception. And that was a very, very good one. Okay. It talks about bullying. And I believe there's a follow-up on the second album that you heard. But it talks about bullying. And he's talking about this kid who is being picked on by other kids. And he notices. He notices that he's being picked on. And he keeps on talking about, you know what? I'm going to stick up for this guy. Keeps on talking about noticing how everyone else is treating this kid, how he's getting bullied, and nobody sticks up for him, how he's going to, you know. One day the kid shows up, you know, the kid's not in class. So the two kids that are bullying him, they don't stand out anymore because they don't have any, they actually appear to be normal kids. Mm. All of a sudden the kid walks in, pulls out a gun, shoots the two kids. So I guess the character that Token plays in the song, yeah, says, see, all right, it's over, it's done, you know what I'm saying, they're not here to bother you, killed them both. And then he goes, you were the third name on my list.
Okay.
Now that's
And he does touch on that in actually the intro track on Somewhere in Between, which is called coincidentally Somewhere in Between. He kind of continues that because
Yes.
he actually mentioned in that how people were giving him props for that, but he said that he was once the kid's friend. I think the kid's name is Barry or something like that. He was once the kid's friend, and he stopped being friends with him because I guess these other kids were picking on Barry, and he wanted to be cool, so then he started hanging out with the friends that were picking on him. So I guess it would make sense why he was the third name on the list.
So, but that was, I think that particular song was thought-provoking and deep. But let's also point out something that, you and I are not kids. You know what I mean? So the same way I don't like some of these little mumble rap fucks, like, and now let's be clear. I'm not here to freaking down anybody. The whole point of my podcast as it pertains to the music is to give credit to those individuals who are skilled in the craft. So just because we might be critical of a particular album, you wouldn't be on here if we didn't think that there was some type of skill by one of us. So yeah, so you may not be a fan of Token, and we not actually haven't actually gotten into his, completely into his ability to rap, which I think is what we're going to be grading right now. But it's the same thing with Benny the Butcher. Benny the Butcher wouldn't have been on here, regardless of what his cumulative rating was when we graded the album that we did. When it comes to Immortal Technique, who was the other guy we did?
We did Busta Rhymes, we
Busta
did Big
Rhyme,
Sean.
Big Sean. Okay,
Oh, we did Chica as well.
we did Chika as well. Okay. Even if you get a low grade on, like, if we, the only time we, and I'm not saying we are gonna do this, I'm not saying we aren't, but we might actually put someone on here like a little Yachty, just to go, just for the opportunity for comic relief, just so we could go off. However,
I think one episode just to drive you crazy. We should do a Little Yachty. We should do Future. We should do Lil Uzi Vert. We should just.
you think I won't like Future?
It depends on which Future project. And yes, I think you won't. I think you won't like him. I like Future, but I
Okay,
think.
can Future rap?
Whew,
Because
that is.
me not liking an album, me not liking perhaps the way you rap, like I wasn't particularly a fan of Bone Thugs because it was five guys that sounded all exactly the same. Okay, I would have been more impressed if it was less of them, but Bone Thugs, but
I like their style.
I like the style. I didn't like that it was five of them
Doing the
with the
same thing.
same exact style.
I got you.
Okay,
And that's fair.
but these dudes can rap regardless of whether I've purchased an album or not. So when you say that he's not your thing, like I said, somebody on here on this podcast thinks you can rap if you're on here, regardless of what kind of grading system we got. Yo, is that by your house, that siren? What the hell's going on
I have no idea.
there? Better strap up, son.
It goes off from time to time. The little fire station or the firehouse is
Yeah.
like
Okay.
a quarter mile from here, so.
All right. So let's get to it, man. So right
Okay.
now, what we're gonna be doing is we're gonna be grading Token as an MC. Okay?
Okay.
So your counterpart, your older brother, I asked him to send me some notes if he could, and he fronted. So when I see him, I'm gonna smack the taste out of his mouth. Anyway, as an MC, what is your grade for Young Token?
For Token as an MC up to
As
this
a
point.
rapper, as a rapper.
Okay, so up to this point, and there's definitely room for improvement. I will give him a 62
Whoa!
out of 100 as a rapper, as an MC. And
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we have lost Daniel. I don't know what's going on with this guy. Let me see what's going on. Let me see if I can get his attention because I don't have the FaceTime screen on. Oh, there he is. And he's frozen.
Can they put together a song?
Hey, yo, my man.
Can they...
Hey, yo, my man's in. Could you do me a favor? Could you go back a little bit because you froze up again? Right now, I see you trying to come in.
Technical difficulties?
Technical difficulties. So come back.
Okay.
You said you gave him the 62. I went, oh! And... Okay.
I think he can he can definitely improve and I think he will improve. Just as of right now, I think he's shown that he's technically proficient. He's lyrical. He can rap really fast. He can rap in a multitude of flows. It's just for me, I don't think he has been able to craft a consistent catalog of music up to this point. And for me, when I listen to an artist or I listen for an artist, especially if I want to check out their album, I have to hear potential that they can actually put together a complete and cohesive project. There's artists who may not be nowhere near as technically proficient as him, but can put together really, really good rap albums. So I would say with Token, once again, I expect him to improve moving forward. It's just, I guess the type of music that he was making is not for me necessarily. And just some of his choices when he did do some of that stuff was slightly cringeworthy. So I would say he's still in the development stage and he's going to continue to get better. So is it 62 for right now?
So what are you grading exactly?
I'm grading him on his lyricism, on his flow, his cadence, so that kind of, you know, carries him up. And then what's missing to me, it like what he's missing from me is a big chunk of what makes an MC a complete MC. I think an MC just beyond doing a freestyle, they also have to be able to put together songs. Like, they have to put together songs consistently. He's missing that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'm going to give him a 70.
70. Okay.
I like his lyricism. I like that he's a young dude who came up on his own. You know, Salem, Massachusetts is not necessarily a haven for developing rap talent. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So this is something that all did on his own. Like when it came to the music, I believe he started creating songs on his own through GarageBand, which is a poor man's Logic Pro.
Yep. You know?
So I'm impressed how he came up and he was able to do this. I think he'll be able to, I definitely got to see some improvement. I got to see some growth. But I liked it. It was a 70. I gave him a 70, you know?
Okay.
So that's what? That's like an average of 66 between us.
Yep. So yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty fast.
That's not bad. Once again, for those of you guys who are listening, that's not a bad. The fact that he is on this podcast means that somebody thought enough of this guy to nominate him to try to impress upon the other guests that are here, you know?
Absolutely.
So there's not really, like I said, if we're gonna be talking about whack MCs, trust me, we could do that. Okay, Lil Yachty comes to mind. I'm not to pick on Lil Yachty because I mean I'm not mad that he's out here making money.
True. He could be out here doing much much worse things.
Yeah, I'm not. Listen, let's be clear. I don't care about other people's money. That's not. But once again, if you're an MC, if you're a rapper. Like I said, not to pick on this particular guy, but you can't tell me that you don't care about your lyrics, that all you need is a hot beat and that you'll be able to sell millions of records that you don't, you know, like, I don't expect you to dick ride the people that came before, like the Nas's and all this other stuff. But yo, if you out here, you're creating some type of artwork and a craft and something, you know, that you want people to listen to, even if you're not here listening, if you're not making the music for me, you at least need to try to develop your craft. I think that's a responsibility.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I look at an artist, like when I see an artist when they first emerge onto the scene, and I see that everything that they do gets better and better and better, I respect that a lot because I understand that that is not something easy to do, and an artist to me, with like the first artist in my head where I think of somebody that just gets better, better, and better, and better, and that's gotten better is somebody like a Rick Ross. When he first came out with Hustlin', I liked the song, but I wasn't necessarily a big fan of him as a rapper. But year after year, he put projects out, and I thought he got better and better at putting songs together. He got better just in showcasing versatility. He really showed that he could spit.
Weren't you
So
a fan of David Banner as well?
I liked his production. David Banner, just to be clear, was always more of a producer than he was a rapper. But that song, Like a Pimp, that he did with Lil Flip, that was my jam.
I
I
know,
I I, I
okay,
remember that joint.
because
That was
you
my jam.
used to always be spitting that, back in the days when you had no flow. Like a pimp, get down on the flow, on the flow. Exactly
Yo.
how, yo, you sounded like straight trash. But yeah, what was I at? I lost my train of thought real quick when it came to that. That's what happens when you're almost 50 years old.
You're talking about like MCs, even if they aren't your necessarily cup of tea, that they just got to represent themselves
They gotta
well
represent, yeah, they
and put in the work into their craft.
definitely, like I said, they like. I think who was it? You mentioned something was mentioned earlier in the previous episode that, yeah, you got to understand that that music is not necessarily meant for you. There's always going to be somebody that's going to be digging that. So, yeah, you may not like it. They may be trash, but there's people and millions of people that are going to listen to it. A little bit off the subject, and I'm gonna try to be, I'm gonna say this right now that. The vague commentary that is going to be made right now that D. Meddy is not may not necessarily be in agreement with this, so he may not comment on it. But I'm going to comment a little. A certain troll who will remain nameless seems like his album sales aren't doing too well. Supposedly because the production on the music, the actual thing that is supposed to be selling and getting views isn't doing too well. It's not doing too well. And supposedly that eventually it's gonna come to a point where, you start selling less albums, you start getting less views, you're not gonna be able to pay for as much security as you do right now. That's all I'm saying. That's all I got to say on that.
The law of diminishing returns is very real, and that's all I will say on that.
Yeah, y'all take that to mean whatever y'all want on that, man. And sorry for kind of like springing it out on you like that, but I try to keep it vague, without getting into too much detail or anything extra on that. But that it is what it is. But
I got you.
let's move on now. We're gonna be talking about the impact of females, women. I'm talking about of women in hip hop, man. Now, let me ask you, what is your first memory of women in hip hop?
My very first memory is Queen Latifah, UNITY.
UNITY. Ah, you don't. You know, are you familiar with any of her previous work?
Not too familiar. Like music around that timeline in general, I'm not as familiar with as maybe I should be. And that goes across, women and men. Like when I really, really, really started getting into rap was maybe 94, 95, with the emergence of Biggie, Nas, and so on and so forth.
I believe Latifah had a song called "My Madness." That song was pretty hot. My first memory of women, I guess in this case, she wasn't a woman at the time. She was still a young girl. Roxanne Shanté.
Ah.
The Roxanne. Okay. First off, with the understanding that hip hop rap back then, it wasn't the national phenomenon that it is today. So
It was regional.
you could be hot, you could be a hot MC, you could be KRS-One. We all wonder why KRS-One never went platinum. Yeah, because it could never sell nationally. Okay? Like, even my wife, who's from upstate Albany, like, all that music that we were hearing down here, 3 hours away in Albany, they didn't have a clue about any of it, you know?
Oh, wow.
So when she used to come down here for summers, my wife used to go back upstate, and she would think everybody would think she was hot shit because she recorded music and listened to, WBLS and, Hot 97, and then she'd go back up and let her peoples go hear that. So she was mad popular when she came back, you know?
Now she had the plug for the good music.
Exactly, and that's from
Yeah.
coming down, but she had to drive down 3 hours from upstate New York to do that. So that's a phenomenon in itself. But Roxanne Shanté, okay, she was a female, but and the one thing I could say about female rappers, okay, even the ones, the, even they had the, this chick called the Real Roxanne, because I guess UTFO, who originally came out with the song, they were like, "Yo, who's this Roxanne Shanté chick? We don't even know this girl." You know what I mean? So it was just like an answer to a rapper. That's how she got on the map, you know?
Now,
But she did.
Roxanne Shanté, she was with the Queensbridge Clique, right?
Yeah, she
With like
was.
MC Shan and
Oh yeah. Well, we all know that KRS-One put an end to that entire crew, with one damn song. But
Yeah.
go check that
Dee dee
out.
da dee 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 da dee dee.
Yeah. Well, by the way, all I gotta say to that is that Nas actually said that KRS-One is one of the greatest of all time. Now, I want you to take into account that Nas is from Queensbridge. Okay?
And
And
the fact that he would say that.
that he would say that says a lot, but that's neither here nor there. After Roxanne Shanté, we have the next ones that come to mind immediately, the ones that were more popular was Salt and Pepper. But let's not forget, Money in the Middle. Money Love, so we had our fair share of female rappers, women rappers. But the thing about
Salt and Pepper probably had the biggest hit like right out of the gate for women MCs with Pusha, right?
yeah, but they had the response to the show by Doug Fresh and Slick Rick. That's how I believe they copied the model that Roxanne Shanté did. Because I don't know that they actually knew Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh, but they just went and created, a response, and he got on the map that way. But they brought more sexuality to the rap game when it came to that. Okay, all right, these are some attractive looking females, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there wasn't too many dudes that say, "Yeah, I wouldn't shoot my shot if I had a chance." But it wasn't something that was overly sexualized, even with songs that may have been more sexual. You dig what I'm
Yeah.
saying? After that, we have MCs like Nikki D. That might be a little bit ahead of your time. But as we progressed, it was never definitely not what it is today. Then somewhere along the line, the woman MC kind of lost its steam.
Now with MC Light, because I know
Oh, I'm
she was
sorry.
prominent also too
I
around that
forgot. I
time.
forgot about my. Listen, sorry. No disrespect to MC Light. I apologize. If anybody who I'm not mentioning here, no disrespect intended. MC Light. MC Light. Well, out of all of them, I believe that MC Light was actually the best rapper out of all of them.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah,
what were you gonna say
she
about her?
was really talented.
Extremely talented. But there was something very tomboyish of her.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And then, like I said, you went on to the, you got the MC Lyte. Then we moved on, but there was like a dearth of female rappers, okay? And then something happened in the 90s.
Yeah, the 90s definitely changed a lot. Music got very R-rated, and with I guess the filming that became prominent, especially in the mid-90s, the mid to late 90s, if that's the direction where you're heading in, it got very, very sexual.
Well, yeah, I guess I would call it the Jodeci-fication of women in rap. Now, what I mean by that is back in the days, you know, they would talk about when it came to R&B, it was about, making love and all this, you know, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. When it came to R&B music, Jodeci came on the scene, and not for nothing, they turned that shit into fucking.
Yeah, they did.
You know? The Potty Piper came in later on and completely even removed any illusions of it that it wasn't anything about that. But we have what we're talking about. We're talking about the Queen Bee. We're talking about mm-hmm. Lil' Kim. We're talking about also Foxy Brown. Foxy Brown actually outsold Lil' Kim.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, from what I understand, I don't have the stats here for me, but I do know, and I don't know what the final album sales, so don't come back and call on me saying that I lied, but Lil' Kim's album was great. It's like, I copped Lil' Kim's album and we all were pumping it, but when Foxy Brown came out, you know, people who used to own the record stores are like, yeah, her album sales have completely dwarfed Lil' Kim's. Completely. Wow. So, although Lil' Kim has had much more long-term success when it comes to that. So, where do you feel, as far as the development of women in rap has come, where it's going, where it needs to go, who do you feel are the relevant MCs right now? Once again, you can talk about lyrics, you can talk about music. What's your opinion on that?
Okay. Well, I definitely think from a showcasing ability standpoint, hip-hop is in a better place overall, mm-hmm. especially for women. Women don't necessarily have to be the sex symbol anymore. I know, like, Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown, well, Lil' Kim especially, she kind of left a particular legacy that other artists like Nicki Minaj and now Cardi B have kind of jumped on that particular train. And there's other artists too. There's a Dominican girl, Dani Lee. She's kind of following that similar path. But
what, the over sexualization?
Yeah. Well, Dani Lee she hasn't taken it to that point yet, but she's kind of swimming in those waters, so to speak. I would say now you have MCs like Rapsody, Chica, Blimes Brixton, Gifted Gab. Like you have so many talented women MCs that are getting by on their ability and their ability to just fucking rap. Like these are MCs, and I think they've kind of in a way are following the legacy of, let's say, an MC Lyte, a Lauryn Hill. I would say, I was going to mention Jean Grey, but I don't know if she was ever really prominent to like have that lasting impact. Just in terms of just showing talent. Missy Elliott, even though Missy was more on the commercial side, like these women MCs, they're a little more underground. The ones that I mentioned, Chica's gaining popularity and notoriety, but the other ones are a little more underground.
Well, I think when Missy Elliott came along, she's also involved in the production of her music, right?
Yeah, production and songwriting, Missy. She's song written for others.
Okay, so we got to give her props for that. But mm-hmm.
She's great. She's probably one of the most underrated MCs ever. Like, she could fucking rap.
Exactly. That's what I want to point out, because, and this is no disrespect to her, but you're gonna see Missy in a video and you're not gonna be like, yo, I want that. You know what I mean? Whereas some of the other, like, Lil' Kim could rap. And then I don't know what the fuck happened to her. Well, let's not forget Eve. Let's not forget Eve, because Eve came up.
Definitely can't forget Eve. And I would say out of the Little Kims and the Foxy Brown, she was probably the most talented one, because she was actually writing her stuff. Little Kim and Foxy Brown, they had, you know, they had ghostwriters and writers and stuff, which is not really a secret.
Allegedly.
It's an open secret,
what we will say.
It's a big time open secret. But Eve actually like wrote and developed her stuff. And I was watching a little bit of the Rough Rider documentary that they were airing on BET. And Eve, I didn't know this, because I thought she just came up through Rough Riders. Before she joined Rough Riders, she was actually signed to Aftermath. She was signed to Dr. Dre. Really? Dr. Dre just didn't do anything with her for whatever reason. She had to go all the way back from LA to Philly, and she was kind of spinning her wheels like, what am I going to do? And she just so happened to know somebody who was dealing with Rough Riders, put them together, and she just started making music like I think she had to like battle rap one of them. I don't know if it was like Jadakiss but she had to battle rap one of the locks like to get in, and she held her own. They respected her, and she just took off like a rocket.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Little, you are definitely the historian of the Dwizzle Nation podcast. That's for sure. You definitely keep us up to date. No, you definitely got the research down pat. Now let me ask you this. We're talking about who the top MCs right now, as far as commercially, so to speak. We got Cardi B, right? Who else is out there?
Yeah, Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, still her songs still get a lot of streams. Nicki it's Minaj. Just
okay.
She doesn't always do hip hop, like she kind of dabbles in like the pop and the EDM stuff. Now that there's another one, it is weird because she was canceled very early this year, and she seems like she recovered all the way back from it. What's her name? Now I'm blanking on her name. She performed at the MTV Music Awards too. She's a very like quirky rapper. What is her name? Her and Nas actually got into it a little bit. Doja Cat. There we go.
Doja Cat. Okay.
Doja Cat. She's also prominent right now, and it's weird because she was canceled because they unearthed like some comments that she made on message boards like years ago, where she was like talking shit about dark skinned people. And Doja Cat is light skin, and you know it created this whole thing, and I think she was like making fun of like hair texture and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like it went into that, and you know people let her have it, but she made the apology, and it seems like she has her reputation, I guess, has recovered from that. She's talented in her own way, in that she puts songs together in a very interesting way, but I wouldn't say that she's necessarily lyrical, but she is very prominent though, like with female hip hop artists right now. Like she's at that forefront.
Okay. So we have, we have Cardi B, right?
Okay.
All right. Now big up to Cardi B, you know, She's prominent. She's prominent. She's well known in the rap game. She actually does somehow have some crossover appeal, which from the Bronx, from actual Lehman High School. They don't call it Lehman High School, but that's where she went to high school at. She's from the same tribe. You know what I mean? When I mean tribe, I mean Dominican people. For those of y'all that ain't caught on to that. Let's also point out that my spouse hates Cardi B. Woo! My wife can't stand her.
Okay. What about Cardi B doesn't she
My wife believes that she's very classless and tacky. Because I'm Dominican and because our daughter's a part Dominican, she doesn't feel that's a good representation. Okay.
That's fair.
Listen, and don't get me wrong, I've always asked my wife, like, what is it that you don't like about her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so that may not necessarily be my wife's opinion. That's what I'm believing that my wife's opinion is, because she never really gives me an answer when it comes to that. Okay. So
Gotcha.
I don't want to necessarily speak for my wife. That is a guess of what my wife might believe, but I believe that's it. Okay. You know, she's like extremely sexual, you know what I mean? But what is your opinion on how she came up in the game? Do you think it's legit? You think she slept her way to the top? What's good? What do you think?
I mean, see, there's the thing, because like these rumors are always thrown out there, and I think it's easy for those rumors to stick for her because of
Because she's a
what she
woman
puts out,
and for what she puts out, yeah.
because of what she puts out, like how she openly just talks about sex and giving head and all of that stuff. So when these rumors are attached, it's easy for something like that to stick. It would be unfair for me to say, oh yeah, she definitely did this and she definitely did that, because I don't know, you know? So I feel like I mean, even though she doesn't write her own lyrics, and that's, you know, that's something for me, that's always a pet peeve. But I understand in popular music that that is a very common practice. It's just we look at that very differently in hip hop. She definitely has worked really hard to get to where she's going to. Like you got to think about it. Like she wasn't even known as being a rapper. That came afterwards. She was known as being like a reality star first, and for people to take her seriously musically could not have been easy. You know?
Okay. Wow, you're actually judging her extremely fairly here.
Yeah, cause I mean, a lot of the times, like we hear rumors and stuff like that, and it's very easy to, like, especially if something seemingly makes sense from the onset, but more information comes out later on that completely like discredits that, and unfortunately the reputation that's generated doesn't necessarily leave behind, even if it turns out that the facts say the completely opposite thing.
Okay.
You know?
What's your opinion on Young M.A.?
She to me is a very one note MC. Like what she does well, but in terms of like putting together like a catalog of like an album, I don't think she's proven that she can do that well. There's definitely a couple songs here and there from her that I like. I think she's talented. You know, she's very witty, and her lyrics is just, there's not the versatility there, in my opinion.
Okay. You said, but she does get respect for her lyrics. What about this one? The Australian chick, the one they used to date, Swaggy P.
Iggy Azalea?
Yes, Iggy Azalea. Wow.
Never was a fan.
Wow, you just blew your
Yeah.
nose when you mentioned Iggy Azalea. So you
Never
believe
was a fan.
she's more of a media creation?
I think, I mean, I'm sure she definitely had to work hard too, coming from Australia to make it here, but it's just I never liked any of her songs. Like I wasn't the intended audience of her music, you know? So, you know, it's just she never really did it for me.
This goes back to one of the subject matters that I brought up when we were reviewing the Chica album, and that is, I believe she's the fact that she's not a media creation, that she's someone who definitely has to rely on her talent, her real talent, you know, because it's not going to be about looks, okay? Whereas someone like Iggy Azalea has achieved what she's gotten because of her look. Whereas I think Chica has had to rely on actual talent, and it's not fair,
Yeah, it's not, but that's unfortunately the
it's
game.
unfortunately is what it is. That's the game, and I guess to a certain extent we all play a role in it. Because, like, when I hear people talking about, oh, rap music is this, and it's just people talking over a song, and it's this and that, and it was like, well, listen, it's not all of it's you keep talking about the worst aspects of rap, you know, that people shooting and this and that and dealing drugs. I'm like, okay, but do you listen to other people? I mean, like,
Exactly.
there's other things out there. That's where for the longest time I wasn't, I lost interest in what was popular. And I started listening to guys like the Jedi Mind Tricks and the Vinnie Paz's and the Immortal Techniques of the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I started getting into that. You know, I wanted to focus more on the lyricism. And, you know, if you're going to have content, I want to hear that the content is something that has value, you know? And that's where I was at with that, you know?
No, and I agree with that 100%. I agree with that 100. Definitely, like it's in a weird way easier and more difficult to be aware of. I would say like the conscious music that's out there, and not necessarily just the stuff that they put out commercially. I mean, you can definitely like Google somebody or stream somebody, but you also have to be aware of them at the same time. So I think, you know, just so social media does make that aspect of it a little bit easier. But yeah, if you're just going by listening to what's on the radio, you're gonna think it's they're only promoting the worst of the genre,
Yeah, so that
or that the genre is bad. But there's so much talent that's just in the underground doing their thing, you know?
Yeah, people just there's good music to be there's good music out there to be heard, you know? If you're interested in it, you can find it, you know?
Absolutely. And I would say with just to go back to the women and hip hop thing, I think it's in a much better direction than where it was at, I would say like in the 90s and the early 2000s and stuff like that. Even though the Lauryn Hill are emerged during that time, and to me she's the greatest woman MC ever. But I think it is a bit of a better space for a woman to get by on her talent and her ability, and not necessarily just to try to be promoted and pushed as a sex symbol.
I
And I
agree.
hope that continues to improve.
Wow, very good. Very good, man. I like that. I like that. So where we at right now? One of the things that I wanted to talk about, just to give you guys a heads up of where we're going in the future. We want to have an episode where we discuss some of the top producers on
Yes.
the show. We're still not there yet because we need to figure this out, how we're gonna go about it, because I didn't realize how many producers are the unsung heroes of a lot of the songs that we listen to out here today. Also, we run into the problem of clearing samples and copyright issues. So we really can't be playing music out here
Beats,
without
yeah.
beats out here without, you know, potentially being exposed to having to pay for it, you know? I don't know. I see where people post that, you know, post things on YouTube videos. I don't know how maybe they get they claim fair usage in order to post it, but I don't know how that would work with us here. But so we're still trying to figure that out as far as coming to that. But we're definitely gonna come to that. As far as next week is concerned, man, what do we, you know, what do we want to get into, man?
Yeah, that we're gonna have to discuss off
Off cam.
offline. Yeah,
Okay.
definitely, because there's definitely a lot of different directions we can go. There's definitely some new singles, some new albums out there if we want to get into that, or if we can jump into the I guess get started on talking about the different producers. We can do that too. There's so many different directions we can go into.
Yeah, we definitely finding ways to branch off every time we talk about something.
Well, we haven't really spoken too much about Southern MCs, and I guess Southern MCs that we like, and music that we like from there. Especially as being New York minded people, I think a lot of the times Southern rap kind of gets put into this box, but it's so much more versatile and And there's definitely a lot of talented Southern MCs out there.
Oh yeah, Andre 3000, Big Boy, you know,
Ludacris,
Luda,
T.I.
T.I., the Ghetto Boys, Mr. Scarface.
Scarface, yes, Little Wayne, which I guess if you know, we can speak on him if you want.
Well, real quick, I know one thing that when I first heard Little Wayne, like, and I don't feel this way any longer, but what bothered me about Little Wayne was like, dude, to me, he was nothing but punchlines. Everything was a punchline, you know what I mean? But I'm not of that opinion anymore. Wayne is definitely someone who's extremely talented.
Yeah.
So we definitely got to give props to the people that deserve the props out there. You know, also, let's keep it real. I didn't want to use this to shit on anybody, but I want to, I don't know, I might want to do a bonus episode or a regular episode where I shit on people. Like once again,
I think that would be very popular.
I think it would be
I think
too.
You'll get people laughing.
Like I had this one dude at work, my man Matt Ware, Coco Beware. Big shout out to you, Holmes. He actually recommended some, like he said, Lil Yachty's not as whack as I think he is. You know? And I can't really see your face because we got the poor connection, but I'm pretty sure you're like, what the fuck is this kid talking about? You know? So I'm thinking maybe we could come up with a compilation of the best of the worst of what passes for fucking music.
We can talk about MCs we don't like and the reasons why, and maybe like it could be somebody, let's say you don't like that I like, and we can kind of get into a debate about that. I think that would be pretty cool.
Well, okay, but that's different. Like, you're not a fan of Chuck D, but you know that Chuck D isn't trash.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about going after motherfuckers that we all universally think are garbage rappers, okay? And like I said, the individual, he who shall remain nameless, happens to be one of them. You dig?
Got you.
You know, so be mindful, because if we gonna be talking about the best of the worst, we gonna bring them all up, and that guy is an easy fucking target. Although
yeah, he is.
Although he did sell music, and I ain't been to the clubs in years, but I'm pretty sure when his music comes up, people turn up. Because that's what people like. You want to turn up, you know? So yeah, I'm definitely liking the direction we might go to. I think it's gonna be some funny shit. But
I agree.
Anyway, what else is going on with you out here, man? Anything you want to plug? Once again, this is D Medi, MC Extraordinaire. If you need somebody to ghostwrite, if you need someone to maybe produce a track for you for the right rate, man, go holler at my man right here, man. He's definitely good at what he does.
Absolutely, and check out my EP, Hindsight EP. It's available on all streaming platforms. Just search D Medi Hindsight EP. It'll pop right up.
Yeah, it's definitely good work that he's done. He's definitely putting the work on that one. For those of you, listen, man, and as it pertains to what I do or my side hustle, which is not really my side hustle, go ride them trains, people. I need you people to ride them trains, okay? Take your asses to work, okay? Let's start getting some people on the trains here in the for the commuter railroads, man. We need that right now, okay? And you know, of course, be safe while you out there doing it, you know.
Yes.
When are you due to graduate, man?
Spring, actually, May.
Wow. Okay, spring. We're gonna have us a college graduate here coming May. A lot of hard work put into it, so we got to give props to that. Big up to my family out in Houston, Texas.
Yes.
A place where I hope to eventually make my home eventually out there. Much love and respect to the people of Houston, Texas. Definitely like what I saw when I went out there. Definitely want to make it my home along with my family members that are already out there.
Beautiful city, really nice people.
Very, very beautiful people out there. By the way, this is not to down anybody, but from what I've heard, this is not me necessarily me saying it, okay? But supposedly, Southern women know how to treat their men, okay? Just putting it out there. I'm not talking about some undeserving guy that you know has some woman blindly following. I'm gonna say these women supposedly know how to treat their men. All right, so ladies from the East Coast and up north, y'all got to step up your game because all things being equal, evidently from what I hear, okay, because this is not something I necessarily experienced, this is, y'all ain't got nothing on them southern ladies, man. So y'all need all this shit that, you know, I don't work, I don't cook, I don't do none of that shit. That shit ain't going to fly. You're going to be seeing a lot of men moving down south. Just saying. Yeah, man. Wow, you didn't. I got you.
Yeah,
caught up.
I did not. I did not expect that. Oh. By the way, I don't know how you're gonna feel about this. I don't think Anna's gonna like this news at all. But Floyd Mayweather is going to fight Logan Paul.
Who the fuck is? Oh, wait. What a minute. You mean the crazy motherfucker from the internet?
Mm-hmm.
You got
not the guy that knocked out Nate Robinson. His brother. His brother, who's actually better than him,
but they're both trolls, right?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly do they troll?
It's mainly comedy stuff that they put on videos. That's how they got their notoriety. Like they would just do like stupid stuff on camera where they would like troll people and.
Let me get this straight, and I started disliking Floyd. Not necessarily personal, you know, because I don't know the man. So, you know, I only know him from his fights. This motherfucker ducked Manny Pacquiao for years. For fucking years. Now, maybe his reasons were legit. Oh, I think he's on steroids because he keeps moving up in weight. And, you know, he keeps knocking people out. Okay, maybe that's legit. But the fact is, you waited years to fight Manny Pacquiao until this motherfucker was beyond his prime. That fight was trash. It was straight up trash, you know? And the one thing about Floyd Mayweather is that people don't watch, and I said this before, people do not watch his fights to be entertained. They watch his fights because they want to see him get hurt or knocked out. Hell, even hit once.
But that's it. That's not going to happen against Logan Paul. See, and this is the thing too. Floyd Mayweather, his talent besides boxing is generating a lot of attention for his fights.
Well, he is
very good at that.
But
he will succeed at this.
But he has to, because if it's strictly based on entertainment, no one's paying money. No one is paying $100 to watch Floyd fucking dance. People paid $100 to see him fight because they want to see him get knocked the fuck out. Okay, let's keep it real.
That's not gonna happen here. Now, anybody watching for that is going to be extremely upset. Mayweather is going to box his way to an easy win, a very easy payday where he'll barely get touched because, I mean. See, this is the thing. Yes, he has cherry picked his opponents and all of that stuff, and that does take away from his legacy. However, he is still one of the greatest defensive fighters.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
I don't take that away from him. But like I said, because, and this is his genius, okay? He has to be able to market his fights.
Yeah.
Okay? And listen, him being a bad guy, that's what's going to market it. Like some boxers, you know, all right, I'm going to come and see this fight. I'm going to be entertained. I'm sorry. You're not tuning in to see him, but you're not going to be entertained. Nobody wants to see a defensive fucking fight.
It's very similar to who was like another defensive fighter that nobody really wanted to see like that. He was in the 2000s.
Was it Winky Wright?
Winky Wright. He was one that there was also another dude too. But yeah, same thing with Winky Wright, very defensive fighter. I think he blanked out Tito Trinidad. Like when they fought, Tito Trinidad maybe landed, I'm obviously exaggerating, but maybe landed like three or four punches. And Winky Wright just jabbed him to death. Jab, 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 jab. It was a very boring one-sided fight. I like fights where there's some type of intrigue. And even though Danny Garcia got his ass beat yesterday, he didn't give up and he tried at the end. He started landing on Errol Spence at the end.
He should have did that from round one.
honestly,
I'm,
but
I'm not
with,
giving, you don't get you. Don't, I'm sorry, you don't get credit because you decide to open up. You know, after you start hearing the 10 second click in the 12th round.
Against somebody like Errol Spence, much easier said than done. Part of the reason why Danny Garcia was actually able to turn it up, and Spence even admitted this after the fact, Spence got tired. He lowered his guard. He got tired and stuff. So, you know, that opened him up to attack.
Well, I think he should have went a little bit. My wife went off on Facebook on Danny Garcia because we actually saw that fight last night.
Yeah, so Danny Garcia, he's a B fighter, like somebody like Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman's like a B plus. Sean Porter's a B plus. Danny Garcia is a B fighter. Pacquiao, he's like a B plus, maybe A minus. Errol Spence to me is an A minus fighter right now. I think the big dog, and I think I guess you know he needs more popularity is Bud Crawford. And I think he may get that when he does fight Pacquiao. I think he's going to fight him in the Middle East in, sometime in April. They're supposed to fight. But
so how much fight is that Logan Paul fight and Floyd supposed to be generating?
Not sure, but it's going to generate a shit ton of money. I don't know how much they're going to charge for it. I would assume it's going to be around the $60, $70 mark for the pay-per-view event.
Now, I think Floyd is definitely going to employ the same strategy that he used against McGregor. Because Floyd stayed in the pocket against McGregor the whole time. Because I remember one of the things that everyone was talking about was how McGregor landed 83 shots against Floyd. Yeah, I'm like 83 non-threatening punches is what he threw.
Yeah, they were all love touch.
Floyd was not afraid of getting hit not one time. So for people using that like, and yes, I'm going to drop his name, Mr. Skip Bayless. Okay. Who is definitely I'm not a fan of Floyd's fights, but I'll give him credit where he deserves. Skip Bayless is a fucking hater, okay? Oh, McGregor didn't stop 83 non-threatening punches, my man. And like whenever Floyd Mayweather actually gets hit with a shot during a fight, right there, any entertainment value that remained in that fight is done because Floyd is gonna tuck his shoulder in over his chin and then he's just gonna pot shot you and back up. You're not fast.
Like he did against Mosley.
You know, exactly. Once he caught that hit, you know? So all this nonsense that you guys believe that actually Conor McGregor actually had a chance. Yeah, if they were in a UFC fight, he had a chance. But yeah, that never had a chance. Never had a chance. And they ended that fight too damn fast, if you ask me. But, you know, whatever. And I believe that's how it's going to be with this Logan Paul guy.
Yeah.
Don't look now. But the Giants are up 14-5, and they just intercepted. This is amazing.
Wow.
This is amazing. 14-5 with 11 minutes and 21 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
If they finish this out, this will be a huge win for them.
The Giants look like they've been dominating on the defense side of the ball.
They're going to the playoffs because Washington is not beating Pittsburgh.
If they win this
Dallas
game,
isn't beating Baltimore.
If they win this game and they can carry on the momentum because they've got a very hard schedule. If they can carry on the momentum, let's say they win this one and then they go 500 for the rest of the games. How many get with them? What are they? 4-7?
This would make them 5-7.
This would make them make them 5-7 with four games. Yep. If they could go 500, they could win a division.
Honestly, they could go 6-10 and win the division.
Ingram just dropped another ball that he should have caught. Damn it, this motherfucker.
they can go 6-10 and win a division. They only need to win one more game. If they can hold on to this one, they just need to win one more game and they're good. Yep. The Eagles are a bad football team.
Yeah,
the Washington football team is a bad football team outside of their defensive line, which is crazy talented. The Dallas Cowboys right now are not a good football team. Their vaunted offensive line has been terrible this year.
Yo, how would you feel about Trevor Lawrence going there?
Going to the Jets?
Going to the Cowboys.
Well, the Cowboys would have to trade up to get him. And I don't know if they would be willing to pay the price that a team like the Jets would be willing to accept to give up on what is supposed to be a once-in-a-generation talent. if they could somehow pull that off, which, once again, I don't see how they do it, but if they could pull that off, that would be crazy. The Cowboys will probably be back to their Super Bowl winning ways within like 3 or 4 years.
You think, really? Well, I think from a, strictly, I said this before, from a marketing standpoint, that would be the best place for that. America's team, mm-hmm. that dude with that hair, that talent, in that helmet, with Jerry Jones, the new age Al Davis, what?
Yeah. It'll be a wrap. It's just what could Dallas offer for the Jets where the Jets will be like, okay.
That's the problem, because I think going forward, they would have to give up a lot of that talent that would already be on the team. Like, I don't know if they don't really do trades for players anymore. Not with that mass amount, but you'd have, first off, the Jets, assuming that if the Jets come out of that pick, that means that they gave up on Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if that's something to say if you give up on this dude already. But
honestly, too, with the Jets, they're in a really bad situation with their coaching and their front office situation, because Gase is under contract, I believe, for another 3 years.
Yeah, he's gone.
Their GM is under contract for another 4 years, but the GM is somebody who Adam Gase essentially handpicked. So it's like, how do you give this man all of this influence and all of this power within your organization?
Because they're idiots.
Without having nothing to back it up.
And first of all, Adam Gase supposedly failed up, because from the things that I'm hearing, he should have never gotten a job, been able to get a job so quick after getting fired from Miami. Look at how well Miami's doing now.
Yeah, Miami's killing it right now, and that also doesn't look good on Adam Gase. Adam Gase, the best thing he had was that he was cool with Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning made a phone call for him. I think he called Chris Johnson or Woody Johnson or something like that, said, you know, hire this guy. But outside of that, there was nothing like he had one good year in Miami with Ryan Tannehill and stuff. But then it just went downhill, and so many players started chirping against him and demanding trades from that didn't like him. It happened in Miami. It happened on the Jets too. Hmm. Players do not like this guy.
Yeah.
So
if you need to,
I don't know.
You need to go out the. You need to go outside the box when you're going to get a coach, man. Because I think Arizona did well by. Who's the coach for Arizona?
Kingsbury, but I mean that was a complete risk too, because that could have easily flopped them, because Kingsbury, he was a losing football coach in college.
He was a losing football coach in college. However, once they made the decision that they were gonna draft Kyler Murray, which is another risk, but mm-hmm. it was the perfect matchup. Because you know damn well that Cliff Kingsbury was going to make sure that this guy succeeded. Whereas, let's say a guy like Jeff Fisher is where you go to, you know, guaranteed to have your quarterbacks underperform.
Yeah.
Or let's say when Washington drafted RG3, who drafts another quarterback after you drafted one in the first round?
That was weird with Cousins.
You went and drafted Kirk Cousins. So, you know, like I said, when it comes to these quarterbacks, a lot of these quarterbacks, the only reason they even have success is because they actually went to the right situation. There's no doubt in my mind, if you want to succeed, go to any Andy Reid coached offense. Andy Reid was Andy Reid's going to figure out the way to win. This is a guy, that's the same exact offense they had the year before with the king of the check down, Alex Smith. The exact same. And Alex Smith is not a slouch. But the problem is Alex Smith is not going to take chances throwing the ball downfield. Whereas the more successful quarterbacks, they're going to throw the ball downfield.
Down the field, yeah. Patrick Mahomes, definitely. Andy Reid's offensive coordinator, Bieniemy, he's definitely going to get a head coaching gig next year.
Well, let's hope. Somebody needs to give that man a job.
I would laugh because it looks like the Eagles head coach, who also came from Andy Reid, he's probably going to get fired at the end of this year. What's his name? Forgot the guy's name. The current Eagles head coach.
Oh, what? Peterson.
Peterson. Yeah. It'll be funny if the Eagles fire Peterson and hire Bienemy. That would be hilarious.
I would hope when this is all said and done, if the Jets get the first pick in the draft, I would hope that they would hire Eric Bieniemy. I would hope
they should do everything possible to make that happen.
Listen, we're gonna give you whatever they give you. We're gonna give you a million more or whatever it is you got to do. And he's picked off again. Is he picked off again? Oh no, he didn't.
If I'm a team like the Raiders, even I would bring in Sam Darnold. Have him because I know they got Mariota there too, but I think Sam Darnold could be salvaged. It's just, like you said, he's in a terrible situation. Even if I'm Cleveland, even though Baker Mayfield had a good game today, like if I'm Cleveland, I kind of think about that because Baker Mayfield has been below average for most of his tenure as Brown starter. So,
well, and
I think about that.
My friend at work, my coworker, my engineer, he turned sour on the Giants because they said that they gave up the best wide receiver that they've ever had. I'm assuming that's talent-wise. By the way, big up to Craig Davis, man. Formerly nationally ranked Madden player.
Wait, you disappeared for like a quick second.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. What was the last thing you heard?
You said my coworker who's my coworker, a huge...
Yeah, my coworker who's a Kansas City, he's a Kansas City Chiefs fan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he definitely lucked out with that Patrick Mahomes shit right there, and congratulations on his team finally winning the Super Bowl. Well, this is one dude who definitely felt that there was a persecution complex against his team whenever something went wrong. But I like the offense, I like Patrick Mahomes, so if my team can't win it, which is more often than not, Patrick Mahomes is I don't have anything against Patrick Mahomes winning 2, 3, 4, 5 straight Super Bowls, you know?
He's great.
He's the truth. He's the truth. And hating that Skip Bayless is going to figure out a way to try to diminish this man's talents and accomplishments. But once again, Craig Davis, talking about my man Craig Davis, who was a Giant fan supposedly and then turned against them because they traded away the most talented wide receiver that they ever had. Which, yes, I don't think it was a good idea for them to have traded Odell Beckham after you gave him that huge contract. And then you went and drafted a quarterback. And then you had a number one wide receiver, and now you just have wide receivers. So it doesn't look like there was any planning to, you know, the Giants personnel moves. That's why I didn't like the trade for Odell Beckham. But there's something to be said where you go and like you keep losing. You there?
Yeah.
The fact is, and maybe Baker Mayfield is a bum, okay, but you had Landry Jones is not better than Odell Beckham. He's not. You can't tell me that he is. But how is it that you know we're not seeing the results when Odell Beckham is in the game? And the Giants had a losing record with him. Not to mention that little fiasco against Carolina, but you know.
I mean, I can't really say that the Giants necessarily won that trade, so to speak. I mean, it's probably looking that way now because the Giants.
Oh, because we got Jabril Peppers, you know.
Yeah, but the thing with Odell Beckham, he had a lot of bad luck. Just with injury, mm-hmm. after getting traded over to Cleveland, he's gotten hurt twice over there really bad now.
Yeah.
And also, too, his quarterback wasn't that good either. I guess he thought he was going into a better quarterbacking situation. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Baker's as bad as Eli.
Is he really, though?
Baker hasn't been great. He doesn't turn the ball over he hasn't been great.
No, maybe he hasn't been great, but has he been winning football games since he's been gone?
Right. This year in particular, yeah, right, they're 9-3. Their first winning season in 18 years.
Now,
believe it or not.
I think one of the frustrations that Odell Beckham had was is that Eli was not an accurate passer. Was absolutely not an accurate passer. So, all right, then you gave me the ball, okay? You didn't throw an interception, but you threw it in such a way where I couldn't run it in stride, and now I had to turn around and contort to catch a pass that, you know, all right, I made a little 10-yard catch, but if you had thrown it where you were supposed to, it would have been a touchdown. You know what I mean? I think that might have been some of the frustrations with him was that Eli was an extremely inaccurate pass. I think that's where, and maybe he didn't know how to, that's how he was manifesting it on the field. And that's why maybe you saw some of the histrionics that you saw on the sidelines with him. But I don't know. I mean, I hope Odell Beckham gets back on his feet. You know, I still want to see people go out there and do well and do their thing, you know. And like I said, he's extremely talented wide receiver. And, you know, I want to continue to see him do his thing on the field out there.
I agree.
All right.
I agree. I hope he recovers.
Yo, what's going on with your bitch-ass Falcons?
the same exact thing that's been going on with them. They're nice between the 20s, but when they get into that red zone, they just choke up. And maybe it's Matt Ryan. I think it's a play calling. I think it's Dirk Cutter's offense. I think what once that offense gets into the red zone, it's like they forget what they're.
They forget what? We got to do something about this internet connection. By the way, at the end of this month, we're definitely going to be doing something about this.
To head into a different direction. And if that means at this stage of the game, getting rid of Matt Ryan and getting rid of Julio and starting from scratch, then they got to do what they got to do.
Yeah, I think Julio Jones, as talented as he is, I don't think he achieved the full potential of what his career could have been. I mean, like, this dude was not getting any he wasn't
red
getting
zone
any red zone touches. I'm like, it's ridiculous, man.
Yeah. It might be Matt Ryan. I don't know.
Who knows, man. But I think Matt Ryan's
disappointing.
I think he's seen his better days behind him. I think
I agree.
I think everything I think that Super Bowl loss had a devastating effect on the psyche of that team. So,
also agree.
You know, so
and on the psyche of the franchise as a whole too. Not only, you know, the players on the field, but the front office, the owner, and stuff. Definitely the fan base. I still haven't gotten over it. So, yeah, that's tough. But I'm gonna get going over here.
Oh, no doubt, man. We went a little bit long here, but we all gonna keep this in the show. I'm gonna continue to watch this Giant game as the Giants just let the lead be cut by Seattle Seahawks. They just threw a touchdown pass. It's about to be 17-12. Anyway, this has been the Dwizzle Nation podcast, man. This has been me, your host, Dwizzle, along with D. Meddy out here. We've had a great time, and we'll be seeing you next week. We are out.
Yes, take care. Stay safe. Thank you.